Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Hear now the word of the Lord. Jesus says, "Pray then like this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." And turn forward now to Luke chapter 11. Luke 11, just verse 1 and part of verse 2. "Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples.' And he said to them, 'When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name.'" That is the word of God. One of the most consistent threads that ties the entire Bible together, and a thread which also witnesses to the fact that the Bible is one continuous unfolding revelation of God and revelation of His redemption, that thread that ties the entire Bible together is the manner in which believers pray. There is a clear and a coherent picture that is painted by the prayers of the saints from Genesis to Revelation of who God is. And although there are a plethora of saints that are distinguished by their prayers throughout the Bible, there is one preeminent person of prayer in the Bible, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. Prayer was actually part of His redemptive work for us, and it is part of His saving work as it continues on, as He prays for us at the right hand of the Father as our great High Priest. Something we need to recognize is that prayer is not an art, or at least it's not an art in the way that most people consider art today. Too often the idea of art today is that it does not take any work or effort. It's nothing you need to learn. It's just something that happens naturally and by inspiration or something like that. But prayer is something to be learned, and it is something to be worked at. And indeed, we get the Lord's Prayer because a disciple asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. And so the Lord's Prayer, as we begin to look at it over these next few Lord's days, the Lord's Prayer is the teaching of the preeminent person of prayer, Jesus, on the matter of prayer. We need to learn to pray better as Christians today, and the Lord's Prayer is Christ's teaching of how we are to pray. And therefore, the 100th question of our shorter catechism asks, what does the preface of the Lord's Prayer teach us? Answer: the preface of the Lord's Prayer, which is "Our Father, which art in heaven," teaches us to draw near to God with all holy reverence and confidence as children to a Father, able and ready to help us. And this is what it teaches us, that we should pray with and for others. I want us to consider, first of all, this evening, that we are to pray to our Father. In Luke chapter 10, so the chapter before the recording of the Lord's Prayer in Luke. In Luke chapter 10, verse 22, Jesus says, "No one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him." And here in the preface of the Lord's Prayer, we have Jesus revealing to us that we need to come first and foremost as children coming to God as our Father. The Father is the hearer of prayer. He is the one that we are to address in our prayers primarily and to bring our petitions to. And we are to pray as children, asking their loving Father for something. That's how we're to pray. We are to be like children who would come and ask their Father for something. We are going to be instructed to pray concerning the holiness and the sovereignty of God as Jesus continues in this instruction and as He lays out this prayer for us. In other words, we're going to pray that God's name would be hallowed and that His kingdom would come. But here Jesus begins our lesson on prayer by instructing us in our privilege as the children of God. This is the distinct privilege of God's people, is that they can come to God as Father. And thus, we learn that we do not come to God when we pray. We do not come to God merely as our Creator. We do not come to God as the judge of the living and the dead, nor only as the sovereign King of heaven and earth. God definitely owns those positions uncontested, but we do not come to Him on those terms. Rather, He calls us, and we come to Him as His beloved people, and we come on the terms of children pleading with their Father. That's the intimacy and the access that we have in prayer that Jesus gained for us. And because we come to Him as our Father, our prayers, therefore, should be characterized by a holy confidence and even a holy familiarity. Because we know that we are coming to our loving Heavenly Father who is able and ready to help us in our time of need. And therefore, we dare not lose sight of God's, while we dare not lose sight of God's holiness and His majesty, we also should never lose sight of our standing before God as His beloved children, and we should pray as such. We are not biblical in our prayers if we are not praying to Him as children coming to their Heavenly Father. And this should be a great encouragement that we have to pray here, in that Jesus, as He teaches us to pray, He tells us that we should begin, and beginning thus, that we should remember that God is our Father. That's the status that we have. And if we're going to end our prayers in Jesus' name, then we better come and we better pray to the Father. We better begin our prayers praying to the Father as children. A second matter about prayer that we are taught here, though, in the preface, is that some prayer of ours should be a corporate activity. Some of the prayer in the life of the believer should be a corporate activity. In fact, throughout the history of the church, it has been the practice of Christians to pray together. And that is for good and biblical reasons. And so, having considered praying to our Father in heaven, let's now consider praying with our brethren. Praying with our brethren. In Jesus' initial instructions there in the Luke passage, notice in Luke chapter 2, as He leads into this prayer, He says, "When you pray, say." the "you" there, when Jesus says, "when you pray, say," is plural, which indicates that this prayer is to be prayed with and for others. In other words, maybe we can use terminology that's more familiar with us, or at least we know our brethren in Texas would speak this way. Jesus is saying, when y'all are praying, or other renditions of that across the country. In fact, when Jesus says here, when you are praying, say, "Our Father," there's a corporate address to the Lord. When we pray, we are to together address God as "our Father." In fact, every pronoun in this prayer is in the plural. Us, our, we. That is, Jesus is not merely teaching his disciples a way to pray or a model for their prayers, but actually words to pray together. When you pray, say these things. Forgive us our sins. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I put a quote in your outline this evening from the great Dutch Reformed pastor Herman Vitsius. And he said, concerning this part of the Lord's Prayer, Christ's meaning, his meaning therefore is that we should take those words along with us. And then he quotes Hosea chapter 14, verse 2. "Take with you words and return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all iniquity, accept what is good, and we will pay with bowls the vows of our lips." We need to appreciate then that this is both a form prayer to be prayed, as well as a guide to all of our other prayer. In other words, we should neither neglect to use this prayer as our own prayer, nor always limit ourselves to only what is said here. But in the church today, we're more in danger of losing the idea of corporate and even form-type prayer together. Many in the church today are opposed to form prayers. But that's not a biblical position. God has prescribed many of the details of worship, and the Bible gives us many examples of the very words that the saints are to use in worship. Think of it. God gave Aaron and his sons a specific blessing to pronounce in Numbers chapter 6. "The Lord bless you and keep you," goes on. In Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 13 through 15, we have a prescribed confession of sin that the worshiper was to recite. In Joel chapter 2, verse 17, we read that the priests and the ministers were to say specific words in their prayers of intercession on behalf of the people. Throughout the prophetic books, we read that God often put his exact words in the mouths of the prophets for them to proclaim. And we should know of all people that the entire book of Psalms is a collection of the exact words that the church is to take into her mouth and sing in praise to the Lord. Sadly, the practice today in many churches is that instead of and in place of the congregation praying the Lord's Prayer together in a worship service, it's thought to be far more spiritual to have open times of free prayer right in the middle of the service, wherein everyone is encouraged to lead out with individual prayers. In my opinion, and I have this quote for you in your outline tonight, Cyprian, the third century church father, answered this matter the best almost 1600 years ago when he said, and I'll try to read carefully for those who don't have it in front of you. Cyprian wrote, "What prayer can be more spiritual than that which has been given to us by Christ, by whom also the Holy Spirit has been sent to us? What prayer can have greater power with the Father than that which came from the lips of the Son, who is the truth? To pray in a manner different from that which he taught us infers not merely ignorance, but blame. Let us therefore pray, my beloved brethren, as our divine master has taught, to supplicate God in his own appointed manner, to pour into his ear the prayer of Christ argues friendly and familiar intercourse. Let the Father acknowledge his own words when we pray. He says, 'Whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you.' How much more powerfully do we demand what we ask in the name of Christ when his own prayer is employed to express our requests?" Heartfelt, sincere, united, corporate prayer in the form of the Lord's Prayer is nothing to be shunned or spurned by us, but something that we should be about. What can be more spiritual than the very words of Christ given to us by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit? Yes, it can become a dry, dead recitation. It can become just words that we throw up in the air if we do not take care. Yes, we can fall into the awful sin of honoring him with our lips when our hearts are far from him. The congregation, so can all of our reading, our singing, our hearing of the word. So can our coming to baptisms. So can our participation in the Lord's Supper. Just because something can be abused does not mean that we should abandon it and replace it with something far more inferior. Particularly in light of the direct command of Jesus, when we hear these emphatic words, he said to them, "When you pray, say these things." As we close this evening, I want to clarify that I'm not saying that this is the only thing that we can ever pray. In fact, in the very institution of prayer as an element in the worship service, which is recorded back in Leviticus chapter 16, verse 21, it's the very first time prayer is prescribed to be part of the worship service. Because of the very nature of prayer, and because of that prescription there where the priests were to confess the sins of Israel each year at the Day of Atonement, prayer by its very nature had to change. It had to be adapted to the various different sins that had been committed the previous year. As the sins changed, so too the prayers of confession would change. And so we know that this is not the only kind of way that we pray. And furthermore, from the Word, we know that there are all kinds of different prayers, and there are different circumstances in which we pray. There's private prayer in our closets alone. There are family prayers. There are particular prayers for certain things that are agreeable with His will, like when we pray for our own sanctification. There's the prayer for healing when one is sick. There's all kinds of different prayer. And thus we should neither neglect to use the Lord's Prayer as our own prayer, nor should we always limit ourselves to only what is said here. There's a final thought that I would like to make this evening, and that will return us to the actual words of the preface here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, as we close tonight. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, Jesus says, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father in heaven.'" We begin our prayers with "Our Father in heaven." In that simple line, we really have the most succinct and perfect address to God that we could use in prayer. Our Father in heaven. For in this very simple and succinct preface or introduction into our prayer, our address to the Lord, we articulate both God's relational closeness to us, but we also do not neglect His absolute transcendence above us. That is to say, we are taught here that God is both our tender, caring, and loving Father who is always ready to hear the cries of His children. And we are taught that He is majestic, He is powerful, and He is exalted over all in heaven. And thus, He is powerful and He is able to do whatever we ask of Him. These two truths should drive us, frankly, to pray more. And these two truths, as we begin our prayers with this kind of address to God, should guide us to pray more biblically. Since He is our Father, we should come to Him more often because we know that He loves us and He wants to help us in our times of need. We can come with passages in our minds like Romans 8:32, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? We should come with the truth of 1 John 3:1, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God. But also, since He is in heaven, we should pray boldly, in faith, believing that nothing is too hard for our God. But also, since He is our Father in heaven, since He is majestic and high and lifted up, we should also heed the words of Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 2. Be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven, and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. In other words, as our catechism explains, we are to draw near to God with all holy reverence and confidence, as children to a Father, able and ready to help us. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, what a blessing it is to be given the privilege to address You in this manner. We revel in the fact that we are Your children by Your grace, and that You have made Yourself our Father by adoption. And yet, Father, we recognize that You are our Heavenly Father, high and lifted up. Nothing can stay Your arm. No one can say to You, why have You done this? Nothing is impossible for You. And so, O God, we pray that in light of Your word tonight, in light of the way that Jesus has called us to pray to You, Father, we pray that You might teach us and mature us in the way that we bring our petitions and requests before You. We pray that each time we come and we address You as our Father in heaven, we might come with great confidence, knowing You love us and will never withhold any good thing from us, but also that we might be very careful in our words and not be rash with them before You. You are in heaven and we are on earth. we see so dimly and we know so little. You know all. You are all wise. Your will is the best. Father, make us more like Christ. You have told us that your will for us is our sanctification. And tonight we particularly plead with you and pray that you might make us those who pray more like our Master, more like our Lord. May people know that we are his disciples even by the way that we pray. We ask, and our hope is that you would be pleased to do this in us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.